Why are guns a public health issue? Oh, I'll tell you, because all the feces fit together in a great big mold of Seattle spirit.
We have no plan.
Our incarceration rate is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
We'll have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
He was murdered by the police.
So gang shootings, record level gang shootings. We had, of course, the officer killed this weekend, Officer Moreno, killed in the line of duty trying to stop three very dangerous teenagers. No doubt some of the people favored by heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dow Constantine and their insane zero youth incarceration pledges.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
But the focus continues to be on you. It continues to be on your legal firearms. Joel McDermott on the King County Council spoke exclusively with Dave Ross of Seattle's Morning News, and Dave was kind enough to let me share with his audio with you. All through unincorporated King County, you know, the firearm you keep next to you at night? No, it's going to be illegal. They intend to piggyback onto the Seattle law to take it all throughout unincorporated King County. They intend to determine what is safe for you and your firearms and what is not. They don't give a damn about a teenager, three dangerous teenagers, having access to a car that ultimately took the life of a police officer. They don't give a damn about the problems with gang shootings in our area. They don't give a damn about the government-funded heroin dens that are operating already in the tiny houses and the jungles. They don't give a damn about any of that. They want to make guns a health issue. Why? Because, as we told you exclusively on this show, we were the only show to talk about the heroin judge, Veronica Alicia Galvan. She's the lady who stole your right to vote against those heroin dens. She's the lady who pretends that King County residents don't get to vote on healthcare-related issues. The same King County that banned smoking. The same King County that legalized marijuana. You don't get to vote on these things, said this activist judge who brags that being a resistance member, resisting the Trump administration, is part of her job as a judge. I told you at the time, if these things are healthcare related issues, you watch. They're going to make guns a health issue. And that's exactly what they're doing. They want the King County Board of Health to oversee the new safe storage ordinance that also comes along with forcing gun stores to put up signs telling you that guns are awful, terrible.
And in fact, one of those is to have a warning sign, a disclosure posted at points of sale and at places where firearms are discharged, warning about the health effects of owning and possessing a firearm.
So that's King County Councilman Joel McDermott. The side effects, Joel, are negligible. Legal gun owners are some of the most responsible people with these tools in the world. Far more responsible than car owners. Far more responsible than people having their edible marijuana at home. Far more responsible than people with swimming pools. But I know swimming pools don't go out and kill people, right, Joel? King County Councilman. So they want the Board of Health to oversee this, the King County Board of Health. This is the same Board of Health that wants to hand out heroin. You follow me. Watch. It's not just going to be a, you know, city councilwoman, Sally Bagshaw, who says, we got to provide the marijuana. It's going to be the so-called Board of Health. This is the same Board of Health. It's already on record saying we need to put a van, a million-dollar, multi-million-dollar, $10 million van driving around King County so people can go shoot up while nurses watch. But they want you penalized if you don't store your gun the way they want them stored. By the way, the activists behind this admitted in an article I read last week, they're comparing this to the warning labels on cigarettes and other items. You know what they have done? You know what they admit? It's changed nothing. Not a single behavior. This is about a spider web of some line you're going to cross. This is about making it hard to be a legal gun owner. This is setting up trip wires. That's what it is, because it will change no behaviors. Dave Ross and Joel McDermott talked about what these warning signs will say at these stores.
And this would say, warning, the presence of a firearm in the home significantly increases the risk of suicide, homicide, death during domestic violence disputes, and unintentional deaths to children, household members, and others. And this would be on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
And it would also include contact information for crisis connections for anyone contemplating suicide to make sure that, that help and that resource is immediately available.
Now, mind you, there's nothing like this for heroin. There's nothing like this for marijuana edibles. Mind you, we have a record number of DUI deaths in our state and DUI accidents in our state. Mind you, there's drive-in pot stores coming to our area. Mind you that we have kids getting stabbed by heroin needles, but it's about going to the gun stores. And by the way, all this data that you're more likely to kill yourself with a gun, there's a whole bunch of data that goes into that. I do not believe that owning a gun is a precursor to suicide or that it increases the likelihood. Because behind that data, there's going to be other indicators, socioeconomic indicators, state of job, state of profession. So, of course, Joel McDermott, King County Councilman, he says he wants to go out and talk to kids about guns.
I'll also be rolling out legislation requiring safe storage of firearms throughout unincorporated King County. And I'm asking for a report working with youth who live daily with the threat and concern of gun violence in their communities and asking them, their families, people who work with them, for their suggestions.
And another point of fact here, Joel, or another point of fact here, Joel McDermott. The fact is, this law is not going to be followed. The fact is, legal gun owners aren't going to have you tell them how to store their weapons. The fact is, we buy guns largely so we can have them ready in case someone breaks into our house. Because guess what, Joel? Everything you Democrats are doing in King County is increasing things like home invasions and things like carjackings and things like gang shootings where bystanders happen to be drawn into this. We're not going to follow this law, Joel, and you can't enforce it. But note that they're putting it into the Board of Health. Why? You can't vote on it. It's a health issue. And King County, until that disastrous ruling from this ridiculously activist judge is overturned, we don't get to vote on healthcare-related issues. That's why they're trying to make guns into healthcare issues, when they're not. They're not public health issues. You don't get sick from a gunshot. You get hurt or you get killed. That's not the only bit of breaking news. Remember we broke the news the day it happened. Right after the filing, we had Joel Ard on the show to talk about his case against Sound Transit, against the illegal car tab taxes. We talked to him about that exclusively when he launched this class action lawsuit. Joel Ard says that Sound Transit wasn't transparent in what they did. Of course they weren't. They're trying to hide an illegality.
Buried in there is a section that just doesn't really make a lot of sense. And you've got to be, you got to put a lot of time into figuring out what they're getting at. You got to have access to all sorts of legislative history materials and so on. And the state constitution says you're just not allowed to do that. You've got to give fair notice to people when you put together a bill and tell them, what are you up to?
Yeah, those illegal car tab taxes, a lot of people continue to pay. I don't. You should sue me. Sound Transit, you should sue me. I do not pay your illegal tax. I register my vehicles outside of the King County or out of the Sound Transit RTA. Hear me. I don't pay your tax. I am breaking the law. You should sue me. Then we can get discovery. We can go back and forth. And we'll go in front of a judge and see if I should be forced to pay an illegal tax. Fortunately, this class action lawsuit could force force Sound Transit to have to give money back to you. That was the goal. The goal, Joel Ard says, was to strike down this unconstitutional portion of the statute.
The outcome of the case would be to strike the portion of the statute that offends the Constitution.
Yeah, and the whole thing is offensive. Well, now, again, an exclusive, Dory Monson, our good friend over at Cairo Radio, he's talked to Joel earlier. Joel has made an offer to Sound Transit to settle this case, this class action case. He told Dory that the legislation of the tax isn't clear. Well, we knew that.
They didn't really make clear in the legislation what valuation schedule they were using or how they were amending the existing valuation schedule to use the old one. And our state constitution requires them to do that. It's actually a great part of the constitution here in this state that legislation has to spell out exactly what it's doing.
So
and this one didn't.
He's gone to the criminals at Sound Transit. Yeah, the criminals. The so-called CEO, Pete Rogoff, he's a criminal. He's running a criminal enterprise. He breaks election laws with impunity constantly. Constantly. We can give you 3, 4, 5, 6 examples. They lie constantly about being on time and on budget. They've never been on time. They've never been on budget. They still aren't today. They are being faced with the decision. Do you want to settle this case or you want to take it to court? Do you want to defend your illegal tax? So Joel Ard talked about this settlement with Sound Transit. What is he offering?
The compromise is the parties can agree not to blow the whole thing up. We could agree to basically get a judicial blessing on rewriting the statute the way they should have done it in the first place, which would revert to that 2006 valuation schedule, which is much more closely related to actual rational car value.
And the liars they are at Sound Transit says this will bankrupt them. That not charging you an illegal fee will bankrupt them. Let me remind you something. This is the same Sound Transit that spent nearly $1 million on a launch party where they lied about being on time and on budget. This is the same Sound Transit that decided it's not enough to have one train station in downtown Seattle. They need to have two, and they need to be within three or four blocks of each other. Yeah, not just one, but two. That Sound Transit. This is the same Sound Transit that's willing to give away land to rich developers to build so-called affordable housing. Oh, yeah, it'll be affordable for 12 years until the tax write-off is gone. Then those rich developers get to make them luxury condos if that's what they want to do. So Joel Ard says the other aspect of this settlement is getting the taxpayers their money back.
Reaching back over the past, it's roughly 18 months since the onset of the car tabs, and having Department of Licensing and Sound Transit basically calculate, if we'd done this right from the outset, what would we have charged you, and given everybody a credit for that difference?
Hey, I won't get my money back because I don't pay that Sound Transit tab tax. Hey, Dow Constantine, you should come at me. Force me to pay that tax. I'm right here. So are over 500 of my listeners. Oh, don't worry. I'll never give your names up. I told you it's a huge day. We come back on the Todd Herman Show. Guess what the American people are not concerned with as regards President Trump? They don't give a blank about it. It's total media hysteria and a total fail. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. So the media's tried their best to get people riled up on something, and it's not working. This is such good news. First of all, from the text line on the last two exclusives on the Todd Herman Show from our partners at Cairo. 800-465-8770 is the text line brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. Hey, Todd, if I can't have a gun in my nightstand or on my nightstand, I might as well let a gang come in and break into my house and kill me. Because that's what Seattle and King County want. They want people with guns dead as a result. So let's have some shootings. Let's have some more people coming in to break in and steal stuff and then kill you while you're home. Thanks a lot, Smack Daddy Dow. I don't know that they want us dead, but I'll tell you one thing. They hate our guns. You know why? Because they hate the fact that we can be independent. They are scared of that independence, scared silly of it. So they're setting up all these tripwires. Yeah, the safe storage measures. They determine what's safe to you. I know in my home where my guns go at night, so do you. And I know in the morning they go away in a safe. I'm a huge proponent of gun safes. And every morning it's a ritual. They go into the safe unless they're with me. Hey, Todd, if they make gun control a health issue, they can use that guise to teach our kids at school. How much you want to bet during their awareness training, they ask kids if their parents have guns and how they're stored? Thanks and keep up the good work, Dwayne from Arlington. Strong point, Dwayne. Yeah, the left likes nothing better than to turn kids into narcs on their parents. It's one of the hallmarks of Marxist thought. Now, let's roll into the national scene.
As we speak, the Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
Okay, so this is sort of funny. Now, let me revise that. This is hilarious. Months, years, it's like 2 or 3 years now, they've been merchandising Russia, 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 Russia. And the effect that's having on the people as a whole, the American people are not upset, for instance, about Helsinki. There's been no impact. You know the media yelling, treason! He's committing treason on live TV. He's a traitor on live TV. And you know me, I didn't think it was the president's best moment, not by a long shot. I can't stand Vladimir Putin. He's a thug. He's a criminal. But treason? No. Particularly in comparison to everything done by the Clinton Foundation. I'm going to get into that later. I went back into the archives, the New York Times. Before they started covering it up, they did an expose on the Uranium One deal. You want collusion in public, treason in public? So an NBC Wall Street Journal poll found that the hysteria over Helsinki had little or no impact with President Trump, with Trump standing with the voters.
The president's approval rating is ticking up, not down. A brand new poll from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, conducted before and after the Helsinki summit, shows the president approval rating at 45%. That is up 1 point from June.
Treason!
And remember what I told you? It's the shock jock effect. You know, when you rely on shock and awe as an entertainer, you have to continually be more shocking. Hence the meat suit with what's her name? What was that singer who did the meat suit? Forget her name. Because she's forgettable. Right? She had to continue to amp up the outrage. Or Madonna back in the day. Or Howard Stern. At least Stern has enough talent as an interviewer. They didn't have to constantly do that. No effect. What do the voters care about? The wall. They care about legal immigration. They care about illegal immigration. They care about keeping ICE. They care about supporting law enforcement. The president's done something fascinating. He's put the left on the inverse side of that. They hate him so much that when he says, hey, you know, ICE is a good organization, down with ICE! I swear the president would come out and say, you know what, I like hugging kids. The hugging kids, it's a plot. The panic over the president wanting to yank the classified certification of people like John Brennan. Rand Paul is behind this. He likes the move.
It's alarming. If he has top secret clearance, as unhinged as he is now, calling the president treasonous, saying basically that he's for, you know, the death penalty for the president. Yeah, it's alarming. If he has security clearance, it's absolutely alarming.
Yeah, and there was a time and a day where intelligence officials didn't try to scare the country. That's alarming. Where they didn't try, as Rand Paul is saying, to say, hey, the president deserves the death penalty. But more central to this, are we supposed to forget that John Brennan worked with people at the White House, worked with Comey, to get Trump briefed on some papers so it could be legitimate news, so it could be in the outrage mill? Are we supposed to forget that? I'm not going to forget that. I have no problem with them yanking these security clearances. None at all. Speaking of the news and how things are viewed, you know, Snopes, your friends from the liberal world will always say, oh, Snopes. Snopes has a liberal bias and everybody knows it. The so-called independent fact checkers went after Ben Shapiro's group, the Daily Wire, because the Daily Wire ran an article saying that San Francisco is registering illegal aliens to vote. They called that partly true. The fact is, they're allowing illegal immigrants to vote in school board elections, which is exactly what the article said. Exactly what it said. Jeff Sessions, close us off on the national issue. We'll get into more, particularly on the FISA warrants. Jeff Sessions, speaking to a bunch of high school students, talked about the campus culture and his distaste for what it's become.
Rather than molding a generation of mature, well-informed adults, some schools are doing everything they can to create a generation of sanctimonious, sensitive, supercilious snowflakes.
That's a lot of S's, Jeff Sessions, but I agree with the overall point. Welcome back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. If you have not read the FISA papers like I have, I read them a couple times this weekend. Look, it's very, very clear that the FBI did everything they could to obscure where this information came from, to obscure that it was a political document, to obscure that it was a hit job, and to pretend to the court that the information had been verified. No, they did. They actively tried to pretend. You don't believe me? Let's listen to Andrew McCarthy on that, then a bunch of other legal analysts dive into that. Welcome to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I'm sorry I'm late to the party. I had an unexpected bit of travel over the weekend. It actually turned out to be really gratifying, very stressful, and it was a family issue. And I'll get into this later in the personal notes when we wrap up the show. I just wanted to quickly thank everybody in the building. Tom put together a best of on very, very short notice. The GM of all these radio stations, Dave, I put out an email Saturday saying I can't come in. I have to go travel back east for family reason. And everybody here was supportive. And it's a special place. And I want you to know that the radio station you're listening to, this conservative radio station, it's got great owners and great managers who really back this place up. And I want to thank them and the program director, everybody. So the reason I mentioned that is I'm late to the party, and I recognize that. But what this means is I've done an extraordinary amount of reading on the FISA warrants. Because on airplanes, I read. I don't watch movies. I sit and read. A, the FISA warrants. When you use technocratic language, when you use weasel words, and nobody is better at weasel words than the lawyers, this is not getting enough attention. Andrew McCarthy, of course, has been all over this. He used to work at the DOJ. He calls this out. This has not been mentioned enough. When the FBI submitted the FISA warrant applications to the court, the secret court, and John Roberts is on that court, they, in each of the warrant applications, the initial and the follow-on warrant applications, they said, and I quote, the FBI had, quote, reviewed this verified application for accuracy. Think of that phrase. It had reviewed it for accuracy. That is like saying, I have looked into whether I stole your coffee. No, I have looked into it to see whether or not that's accurate. Yeah, but did you steal my coffee? Look, I have reviewed that statement for accuracy. That's weasel word. It's a lawyer word. The problem for them is that like good organizations and the DOJ and the FBI used to be before they became utterly politicized under Barack Obama. Just, it's a flat fact, folks. And I'll debate any leftist who wants to tell me it wasn't politicized under Obama. It was a vicious politicization of that, of those organizations. Verify means something in the FBI rules. The representation that the FBI's verification procedure includes sending the application to appropriate field offices is standard in FISA warrant applications. It's done because the domestic, the FBI Domestic Investigations and Operation Guide mandates, and I quote, that the Bureau, quote, ensure that the information appearing in a FISA application is presented to the FISA court, has been thoroughly vetted and confirmed. Let's go back to what the FBI told the court. They told the court the FBI had reviewed this verified application for accuracy. Confirmed? They don't say. They hide that. They dance around their own rules. Further. At this point, they don't want you to know who wrote this application. They've redacted the name of the official who wrote it. We know who signed it. We know Comey signed it. We know other politicized people have signed it. We don't know who wrote it. Well, why is that important? Well, because what if the same guy who wrote it is the same guy who removed gross negligence from James Comey's speech about Hillary? That's material to this case. Now, McCarthy went on Fox to talk about this, talk about the FISA warrant, because he was embarrassed. Andrew McCarthy feels embarrassed. See, he went and said about the FISA court judges, there's no way. There's no way the FBI would have taken poison material, inaccurate material. There's no way that the FISA court would allow itself to be fooled. These issues are far too serious to spy on a campaign, to spy on someone they describe rather inaccurately as an active member of the Trump campaign. He had one time been an advisor to Trump, Carter Page, around whom this is all based. Right? That's who it was all based upon. These FISA judges, it's on them to dig into, wait, you said you'd reviewed it for accuracy. Did you, in fact, achieve that? Did you, in fact, find this? Did you, in fact, fact check it and say these things are all right? Did you, rather, confirm it? McCarthy said, no, there's no chance that the FISA court would be fooled. There's no chance that the FBI would submit provably unconfirmed rumors. Furthermore, he said there's no chance that the FBI would give to the FISA court something that came from a political document. There's no chance that they would do that. There's no chance that they would do like they did in this process of pretending. And this is where you know you're pretending. They pretended that the media. Several times they say U.S. media reports speculate on a tie between Carter Page, Trump, and Russia. Where did the media get that story? From Christopher Steele. And they got it from Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson. Glenn Simpson's organization. Fusion GPS. Glenn Simpson's organization wrote news articles for groups like Yahoo. Literally wrote them and sent them to him. Here you are. Here's a news article you can print. And Andrew McCarthy said, no, this would never make it past the FISA court. In his latest piece, Andrew McCarthy says the conspiracy theorists were right. And I was wrong. That's a 20-year DOJ employee. Now, he's not happy about it. He's embarrassed. He went on Fox News.
I'm really embarrassed because I told people for months that this could never, ever happen. What I told people was that you're not even going to hear about the dossier when we finally learn what's in the FISA warrants, that what the FBI will do is what the FBI always does, which is they'll take seven or eight facts that are important, they'll scrub them so that the FBI can verify and corroborate them, and those will be put into the affidavit, and that'll be the only thing you hear about. When you read this thing, it's astonishing. It's as if they took the dossier and slapped
whole cloth.
A district court caption on it and gave it to the judge, which is exactly what I told people would never happen.
Now, it's not easy for a guy like McCarthy to go on TV and say, wow, I was 20 years at the DOJ. I think of this as my FBI to this day because I used to work side by side, shoulder to shoulder with these people. It is not easy for him to go on TV and say, wow, conspiracy theorists had this right. It is the dossier. It's almost exclusively the dossier. And people will tell you, no, no, no. They quote U.S. media articles. They quote Yahoo News. They quote the organizations like Bloomberg. Right. What was Glenn Simpson at Fusion GPS doing? He was taking the Christopher Steele data, such as it was, really rumors from Russians. Russians who were applying, who were in fact operating on hearsay. They took that. He and Steele and Glenn Simpson worked together to write that up, send it over to these news organizations who are hurting for content. They don't have writers. They don't have time. They're firing people left and right. The revenues are down. And they say, here is a completely written article. Now, also central to all of this is the actual target of all of these investigations was this guy, Carter Page.
This is so ridiculous. It's just beyond words. You know, it's you're talking about misleading the courts. It's just so misleading going through those 400-plus page documents.
Yeah, 420 pages released on a Saturday when they don't want anyone paying attention. He was the target of all this 2 years ago, but they started looking at him in 2013. Now, Carter Page strikes me as a guy who's not all that high in the bandwidth department, not all that smart. Strikes me as a guy who is like every guy in D.C. who's young. They want to earn their bones. If that involves working with Russia and building a foreign policy portfolio, you do that. You do whatever you need to do to earn your bones because you can go get rich in D.C., rich and powerful, and your name never has to be known. Carter Page strikes me as this guy. 2013, they became aware of him, started looking at him. It's 2018. How many charges has he faced for colluding with Russia? None. How many charges has he faced for being an unregistered foreign agent? None. Who's going to get a waiver from prosecution? Who's going to get immunity in all this? One of the Podesta brothers. One of the Podesta brothers who had to shut down, basically shut down his lobbying organization so it could be renamed without his name on it. Because what were they doing? The same thing that Manafort did. Same thing. But he gets immunity. So he can go at Manafort. More pressure for Manafort to say something about Trump. I'm sorry. The DOJ, the FBI, in D.C., the headquarters, they're lost. And in my judgment, it's very difficult to trust them on anything right now. Oh, I know. It's dangerous rhetoric. You think I enjoy saying it? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show at AM 770 KTTH and roll into just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a patent-pending audio feng shui methodology. Nice, Tom. Man, digging in. Get some great bump music. Remember, it's bumper music by request on Friday on the Todd Herman Show. With that, we roll into what should be an award-winning feature. We call it
just a few more things.
Man, guy's good. You have no idea how much money it costs to get a guy to say
just a few more things.
See, because he says it with that few more things. I always want to be that guy because I just walk around saying stuff. I just walk around public going, that there used to be a phone booth. Of course, we have a number of the things.
Thing one.
Because they're news-like. You got to have a list. You got to have numbers. Sometimes a theme emerges when I put this together. Today it did. A celebration of all the ways, not all the ways, but many of the ways to celebrate being an American. Like, this came from producer Tom. Showing up at a Chick-fil-A. I guess you work there. You're just touched by the spirit of patriotism. So you get in front of people eating the Chick-fil-A. This full-grown man just decides to sing.
That I'm proud to be an American. For at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me.
Man, it takes guts. But when you can belt it out like that at a Chick-fil-A, he did it. Some of the ways to be an American. In just a few more things.
Thing two.
Other way to be an American is to build your dream, no matter how ridiculous it may seem. There's a guy from Indiana, and he builds massive motorcycles. These are the size, not kidding. The motorcycles are the size of semi-trucks. They're built with these massive, massive parts. His name is Jim Gesto, and he calls them Tower Trikes.
One of the things that kind of bugged me was I'm on a road and I see, oh, hey, that car ran over a motorcycle. Oh, another car ran over a motorcycle. I mean, like, another car. All right, this is getting old. How do you solve that problem? Well, you build a motorcycle big enough to run over a car.
See, all, not all the ways, but many of the ways to be an American. You want a great big motorcycle, can't be hurt by a car, build it the size of a semi-truck. I want to put this video on the Facebook page because you got to see it. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
Another way to celebrate being an American is to illustrate the absurdity of our reliance upon government leaders to rescue us. We need a government leader to come and rescue us. A town in Michigan, every 2 years or so, they elect a mayor. Well, that's very common, except in their town, they elect a cat. No, not like a dude. I mean, a feline.
Sweetheart, in your 3-year term as mayor, what changes do you plan to make here in Omena?
If that's a cat meowing, I'm...
So the new mayor is playing it close to the vest for now. She may just be tired from a grueling campaign trail that pitted her up against 13 dogs, a goat, a chicken, a peacock, and another cat.
Can we all admit something? Dogs would be better mayors. Because if you think about a cat's going to be a leftist. A cat's going to be a Marxist. Because a cat's going to look at what you have and say, that I want, I will have. Where's the dog? What's a dog? A dog's a libertarian. No, a dog is not a conservative. A dog is a libertarian. A dog is a live and let be. Yeah, it wants to get attention from you, etc., but he's not going to force you to do things. A cat? Cat will kill you in your sleep. Now, understand, I like cats. I think they're pretty. But everybody knows that the fact is, cats, if they ever gain intelligence, they will murder everybody in the planet. Am I lying? Am I wrong? Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
Other ways to be American, to celebrate being American. An 8-year-old girl. She's headed to Maine. Her name is Rosalyn Baldwin. She's been to 31 states. She goes out and she hugs cops. Wonder if the Kent police like to see her here. We lost Officer Moreno over the weekend. Why does she do it? When she says God tells her to do it in these 31 states.
It's been great. It just feels great. I feel a bunch of love when I go to the police station. And I'm so excited when I get there.
31 states. Imagine the number of officers she's met. You know, over the weekend, I was in the airport back east. my daughter, saw a young girl go up and meet a female pilot. She was so excited. She said, I want to fly airplanes. And they visited for a little while. And that little girl left saying, no longer, I want to fly airplanes. I will. I wonder what this girl who goes around and hugs cops, I wonder what her future will be like. Last up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
One of the ways to celebrate being an American is to not get in trouble, not have the government jump in, not be shut down because you are reliably and distinctly stupid. It's not illegal to be stupid yet, even if you're the New York Times. Reading a piece in the New York Times this weekend, I could only think of another 8-year-old. An 8-year-old named Bart Simpson.
I guess you're a garbage man.
Well, I know you are, but what am I?
A garbage man.
Oh, I know you are, but what am I?
A garbage man.
I know you are, but what am I?
A garbage man.
Takes one to know one. Checkmate!
Checkmate. So what's the checkmate about the New York Times? Well, they're celebrating being an American by being absolutely lacking in self-awareness. The New York Times, on Sunday's front page, under the byline of Jim Rutenberg and Bren Protas, inquiry focuses on publishers' support for Trump. They were going after the National Enquirer for being supporters of President Trump. They said in the piece that in a dangerous move, the National, this is the New York Times, in a dangerous move, dangerous for the National Enquirer, a tabloid, making a dangerous move out of journalism and into politics. Thank God the New York Times never did that. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, a huge supporter of leftists in this state and city, probably a rapist.